Get your Bibles out, if you will, please, and I want you to turn to Psalm 128. Psalm 128. Psalm 128. Psalm 128. And let me tell you this while you're turning. Tonight's sermon, I think it is for very few people, maybe just a couple. And I don't know who they are. And you may know who you are as you hear the sermon. Psalm 128. Stand with me, if you would, please, Psalm 128, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to go to another passage of Scripture and read it to you. The Bible says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." Now, I'm going to read to you from another passage of Scripture. I want to read Psalm 84, if I could, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah." And that is talking about the house of God. And it's talking about how amiable are thy tabernacles. Somebody in these passages of Scripture were pretty happy about being at church. Let me pray for us, and then we'll get into the sermon. Father, bless us tonight. Thy presence is necessary. It's urgent. Lord, it's an emergency that we have you here. We could enjoy one another's company, but it certainly would be limited if it were not for thy Spirit and thy presence. Holy Ghost of God, do something in our midst tonight, please. And, Lord, for those who would say, that sermon doesn't exactly apply to me at this time, may we tuck it into our memory bank, because we might need it in days to come. Bless us now, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we read here in Psalm 128, the Bible says this. It talks about eating the labor of our hands, and happy shalt thou be. The Bible wants you and I to serve the Lord, and I think the Lord would like us to be happy, if you will, about doing so. Now, you say, well, does that mean if I'm not feeling happy, I shouldn't serve God? No, I think you ought to do what you're supposed to do, whether you're happy about it or not. I think that's how we would feel about our own children. I mean, if my kids want to obey and be happy, that's good. If my kids don't want to be happy, we're going to go ahead and insist on some obedience anyway. But we're better off if we're happy at it. Psalm 144, verse number 15 says, "Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." In Proverbs 3:13, it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Psalm 122, verse number 1 says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord." I don't think that this sermon necessarily applies to a bunch of people. May apply to a few. But I would say to all of us, it will apply to all of us at some time. Maybe not immediately. I want you to enjoy serving God. I don't want you to endure your work for the Lord and working around the church. I don't want you to endure it. I want you to enjoy it. And listen, if you're happy right now about what you do for God and your service in the church, I'm glad. But let me tell you something. You might want to remember a little bit of what I'm saying, because it may be in a week or a month. I hope never, but it may be that one day you find yourself not happy in serving God. I think sometimes we are happy on the outside, but not on the inside. That's a simple way of explaining it. Little boy, the church that I pastored previously, we were out to eat with a family, and little boy had his plate full of food, and he had eaten what he could, and he turned to his mom and dad, and he said to them, "Mama, I can't eat anymore." And so we went on with the meal, and then the waitress came out and said, "It's time for dessert." And this little boy, he was ready to roll. And he they were asking who wanted what for dessert, and he was oh, and his mother said, "I thought you were full." And he said, "Mama, my food belly's full, but my dessert belly is empty." You know, he was saying, listen, you know what I think? I think sometimes you and I, we're happy on the outside, we're not happy on the inside. We might portray joy on the outside, but we're not full of joy on the inside. And I think God wants both. I think God wants both. And God knows the truth. I don't want to debate the term happiness with you tonight. I know that the root word and the definition of happiness is on the basis of happenings, and you and I are to experience the joy of the Lord. Don't let the happenings of life determine whether or not you have a smile on your face. I'm going to use the word happiness some tonight. I think we know basically what we're talking about when we say that. But you got to remember something. The work of God, it is that work. And the work of the Lord is not exactly like what we would call the secular arena and secular work. Did you know we're in a spiritual war? Now, war's not a happy thing. It's not a happy thing. But when you're fighting for the right cause, you can be a happy soldier that you're serving a mighty captain. But I realize that it's a spiritual battle and it's a spiritual war. The sermon's pretty simple. It's basically that I couldn't think of a better title, but it is why you're unhappy serving God around the church. Stay with me. The points are simple. It won't be long. We'll be on our way. First of all, let me tell you some of the reasons why people are not happy when they're serving around the church. Number one, maybe you're not happy serving around the church because you're just an unhappy person in general. You're just an unhappy person. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 10 is where we find those words, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Now, I meet people that they're just not happy people. Now, listen to this. Satisfaction, folks, is not found in what you have. Satisfaction is found in what you are. In what you are. You say, when you say just not a happy person in general, well, you'll have to self-analyze. You're not happy with yourself. You're not happy with your clothes. You're not happy with your job. You're not happy with your house. You're not happy with your kids. You're not happy with your mate. You're basically an unhappy person. So do me a favor, unhappy person. Don't blame God's house that you're unhappy. Looks to me like you got a problem. And I meet people like this all the time. They say, well, if I had this, I'd be happy. And you give that to them, and they're not happy. Because remember, happiness is not found in what you have. Happiness is found in what you are. Are you just unhappy? Unsatisfied? You know what? If you were serving in some other church, you'd be unhappy there too. Because you're going to drag that baggage around with you. Well, matter of fact, you probably were at some other church in the past and you weren't happy there either. And so you're not happy here and you won't be happy the next place you go. Why? You're not happy. I could have said that in one sentence, but I really wanted to say all that other stuff along with it. So, you're not happy serving around the church so many times because you're just not a happy person in general. Let me say then, number two, why might we not be happy serving the Lord around the church? Sometimes I think we're not happy serving the Lord around the church because we're disobedient. We're just disobedient Christians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 5 says, "Servants, be obedient." Folks, disobedience never produces happiness. I realize that burdens will steal our joy if we let them. So you can't always judge. You can't look at someone, and if they have a sad face, you can't say they're disobedient. But usually there are just a couple things that would take your smile away, either a burden or a disobedience. They kind of look the same on the face. Now, Disobedience never produces joy. Disobedience does not produce happiness. That the Bible even warns us. It says there's pleasure in sin, but for a very short season. And let me tell you, it is a very short season. Usually we do wrong and we get the momentary physical thrill and then we say, oh my, what have I done? And then if you're a good Christian, you'll feel bad about it. When Christians are living in the world away from God, they may put up a front of happiness, but truly they are miserable. So if you serve around the church and you're miserable, you might want to give a little thought to this. Are you being obedient? Those of you that have leadership positions around the church, you know, there's some things you're supposed to do. You're to be tithing. You're to be soul winning, and you're to live separated from the world. And I have to tell you something. I don't see if you're a good Christian and you've made a promise to do some of those things. If you're not doing them, how can you be real happy? How can disobedience produce a quality and produce a benefit that is on the basis of obedience? And so I think sometimes when people are not happy serving God around the church, probably it has something to do with there's some disobedience going on in their life. Folks, disobedience will create unhappiness, not happiness. So if you look out at the church and you ask yourself, why would someone be serving the Lord and not be happy? Well, as a pastor, I've had to face the fact it's not the church. They're unhappy at home. They're unhappy at work. They're unhappy with everything around them. And is it odd that they may come here and be unhappy? No. It's a reality. If you're unhappy serving around the church, it could be the result of disobedience in your life, disobedience to Christ. Thirdly, if you're not happy serving around the church, maybe it's because you're not walking with God. Maybe you're not spending the kind of time that you need to spend with God. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 33, it says, "Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God commanded." You know, serving at the church is a spiritual work. It's not like working in the world, and I don't know that it's supposed to be. Now, I think you ought to be spiritual at work, but I will tell you there is a bit of a difference when you are serving God. Working at the church is working for God. If you're not walking with God, working for God could make you a bit miserable. So you say, well, preacher, what do you mean by walking with God? I think you need to read your Bible and on a regular basis. So check up on yourself. If you participate in your ministry, if you're involved in your ministry, whatever it is around the church, and you say, I don't like it, I'm miserable with it, how much time do you spend in your Bible? Because usually you can trace someone's dislike for their service to God because they've distanced themselves from the God that they're serving. You need to read your Bible, and you need to read it regularly. You need to have a prayer life, and I'm not talking about that famous prayer that you pray over your meal, over the teeth and through the gums. Watch out, stomach, here it comes, in Jesus' name, amen. That's not enough. Just to pray over your meal is not enough. We're talking about where you actually take time to walk with God. You're reading your Bible, and you're praying. I think you need to be witnessing. I think you need to be telling people about Jesus. If you love Him, you're going to promote Him to people. You're going to tell people that there's a heaven. You're going to tell people that there's a hell. But I really do believe, I think, when people are not enjoying their service to God, so many times it's because they're not walking with the God that they say they're serving. Are you walking in the Spirit? That means that you're not yielding to your flesh, you're not yielding to your carnal nature, but you are yielding to the Spirit of God. I wonder if I could have a conversation with God about you, and I could say, God, does he or does she love you? And he could tell me the truth. I wonder how many of you he would say, no, I don't think he or she loves me. I think they like me, but not sure they love me. What would God's answer be? God, really? Tell me the truth. Does he love you? Do you feel she loves you? I wonder what God's answer would be. I wonder if God would say, no, in their heart, they just tolerate all this. It's not real to them. Now, folks, when you're not close to the one that you're serving, then you're not going to enjoy the service. And I'm going to promise you, for some of you, say, well, I just want to quit. I don't know of anybody that's quitting any ministry, so I'm not trying to knock you in the head about it. I'm just telling you, though, if you say, I just want to quit this or quit that on God, it might be you've gotten away from the God that you're serving. So the Bible, I believe, we would discover there are some people that just tend to be dissatisfied and they're not happy in general. I think sometimes, all the time, disobedience creates dissatisfaction and unhappiness. And then I think that maybe if we're not walking with God, we won't enjoy our service to God. Number four, if you're not happy serving at the church, maybe you think it's this place that makes you unhappy. Did you know that places don't usually make people unhappy? In Acts chapter 16, verse number 25, you say, well, I just feel like I'm in a prison here. Well, you feel that because we're an old-fashioned, independent, King James Bible, Baptist church. It's going to have standards, and the preacher's going to stand for something. You say, I feel like I'm in a trap. I feel like I'm in jail. Well, let me tell you something. Did you know that somebody could even be happy in jail? In Acts chapter 16, verse number 25, Paul and Silas were in the worst conditions in the Philippian jail, but they were singing at midnight. Now, to be honest with you, you might consider it a jail. It's really a wall of protection. That's what it really is. You're just not seeing it quite right. You say, well, how could I see it right? Well, get back to walking with God and get in your Bible and get on your knees and get close to the one that built the wall. And you would understand it. But listen, folks, I don't think places make people unhappy. People make people unhappy. Did you know something? Brother Edwards, you have no control over my attitude. You have no control over my spirit. Mrs. Owens, you have no control over my spirit. Nobody does. And nobody has control over yours. Now, you blame everybody for your attitude. But whose problem is it? Yeah, I'm responsible for me. And you are responsible for you. So listen, I don't think it's place. I think it's our position in Christ. And I think if we get that position in Christ right, we'll be happy in that place. Number five, if you find yourself unhappy serving in the church, maybe it comes from the problem that the human race has dealt with so many years, our self-centeredness or our stinginess. I have discovered that self-centeredness, stinginess, it actually, stinginess comes, and you've heard me preach this before, it comes from the words autos hades. It's talking about man-created hell. When we are stingy, we are self-centered, and God never intended for Christians to be that way. You won't be happy if your life's all about you. You know, when I say to you, get your eyes on others, I'm not trying to cheat you. I'm trying to help you. You're hurting you by being self-centered. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit, there is more hope of a fool than him. Now, here's somebody that's conceited. They're primarily connected to themselves and what they want and what's best for them. So what happens, I think, sometimes if someone's serving in the church and they're a little self-centered or they're stingy, you're not going to find yourself very happy that way. Now, if you're here and it's just all about helping other people, you'll be okay. But if you're here and it's all about what you get, you can't control what people give to you. All you can control is what you give to people. So if I want to stay happy, I better not be self-centered. I can keep me happy by what I do for others. But if I'm going to be happy based on what Rick Young does for me, you all know him. He's stingy. He's not going to do anything for me. I'd be depressed all the time. So when you didn't get something you wanted, now there goes your happiness. When your ministry conditions were not conducive to what you wanted, now there goes your joy. You didn't get your way, so now you don't smile. You don't like the way it was being done because it was inconvenience for you. I find very rarely that people get upset when others are inconvenienced. Now, they use others as the front. They let other people be the point man. Go out and see if there's a bomb. We're right behind you all the way. Yeah. When I was being trained in Bible college, they would say, and I'm glad I heard this, they would say to me, if you're going to go out and work on a staff somewhere as assistant pastor, write down the following list. This is your job description. So I got my pen out, and my teacher said, write this down. Ready? Ready. My job description when I go into the ministry. Ready. What is it? Whatever needs done. Anybody here spend any time in the military? Did you have a job description? You had some specialties. But basically, what were you to do? Shut up and do what you're told. Now, that's not how we do it here at the church, but your commanding officer could make it extremely clear to you. That was your job description. You don't go to your commanding officer and say, well, when I signed up, I didn't know I was going to dig ditches. Transfer me, they will, to a deeper hole. And I think, boy, we get unhappy because we become self-centered, we become stingy, it's all about me, what I want, what do I get out of this? Listen, if you want to be happy, just always keep that attitude. God, what do you want? That's what I'm willing to do, and I'm good with that. Let me move on, and quickly. Number six, if you're not happy serving at the church, maybe you're spending too much time with people that are not happy serving at the church. You ever heard that old verse? Birds of a feather flock together? You lay down with pigs, you're going to wake up with a curl in your tail. You run with dogs, you're probably going to end up with fleas. That's all found in the book of Jeff. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, evil communications corrupt good manners. You know what? You used to be one who doctored bad attitudes of other Christians. Now you're the one that needs doctored. You now become sick with an attitude and you're contaminated to the point that you're no longer a doctor. Now you're the patient. That's too bad. It's too bad. If you spend time with unhappy people, that can wear on you. It can wear on you. Back when our church was on Trent Road, I remember one Sunday I had a bowl full of rotten apples. Y'all remember I had a bowl full of rotten apples, and I took one good apple and placed it in the bowl full of the rotten apples, and I said, guess what? That good apple is going to change all those bad apples. And they were gooey and runny and nasty. We know better than that. Listen to me. Be careful. Sometimes when people, hey, if you work in the nursery and there's somebody in there, all they do is gripe and complain and gossip and talk and they're negative, you better be really careful because they'll contaminate you. If you're out visiting on the bus route and somebody's griping and complaining, you say, well, what should I do? Well, if you need to be moved, we can move you. We can get you a safer place. Might be better that you just say to them, I love the Lord and I'm real happy and I'd rather not talk this way. You don't have to be mean. Well, the Bible even teaches if you need, you can growl at them. But, listen, sometimes people aren't happy serving at the church because they're spending way too much time with people that are not happy serving at the church. And I'll be real honest. I don't think that I'm trying to correct a big problem. You say, well, we got some sort of problem. If we do, I don't know about it. I don't think that's the case. I'd rather help make sure we don't have a problem by teaching things like this. Now, in a church our size, with the number of people that serve around here, there's probably somebody out there saying, oh, he's talking about me. He's on my case. He's all over me. I'm the one that's getting picked on. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Because I don't know it's you. I don't know that. I don't feel that way. But unhappiness spreads. It spreads like poison oak or poison ivy. Mike, I'm telling you, Mike, one day he and I were talking, I thought, good night, this guy, he had it all over him, poison oak or poison ivy, and it was bad. It was really bad. I did not offer him a handshake to one of the brethren. I'm thinking, man, I don't want that. But he had it all over him. Let me tell you something. People that are dissatisfied and negative and critical, it is almost like poison ivy. Your unhappiness, if it gets into an attitude, it burns, it itches, it's hard to heal. You can't seem to find relief. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. God wants us to be happy in the service of the King. God wants us to have joy in the service of the King. I've got to move on. Number 7, if you're unhappy serving around the church, maybe it's because you're experiencing a lack of forgiveness. And I'm not talking about others forgiving you now. I'm talking about you forgiving others. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 7 says, "You ought rather to forgive." Now what it's saying is there are alternatives, but those are not positives. The "you ought to rather forgive," that's the positive, and that's the direction God wants you to go. Folks, let me tell you something. When you're a church like us, where there's something going on around here all the time, I mean, Sunday school classes and bus routes and music practices and choirs and kids' clubs and teen clubs and soul winning, and there's activity everywhere, I'm going to guess, because we're humans and we're sinners, every once in a while we're going to do things where we could hurt each other. Well, if you're not careful, if you have a bump, if you get hurt, and you let that thing fester, that'll creep up on you. And again, a little splinter that begins to fester can become a raging infection. Get it cared for. Someone hurts you, and you have chosen not to forgive. This morning in my Sunday school class, I taught my entire class. I said, you need a reservoir of forgiveness. And make that reservoir so full of forgiveness that you've already decided whatever comes your way, you'll forgive. You say, but well, I'm going to forgive what? Whatever. No wonder if it's big. God forgave you pretty big. With a reservoir that was adequate from the start of time to the end of time. That's a pretty big reservoir. But you have to be careful, because a lack of forgiveness will steal your joy and you'll stop enjoying being around the church. Maybe it's not someone. Maybe you haven't forgiven God. Something happened, and you're mad at God. Can I recommend something to you? You need to look at God's credentials. Let's see if you know any of them. God is good. Oh. So you're mad at God, but God's good all the time. I wonder what we got a problem right there. Listen, you say, I'm mad at God. That's not a wise thing. You don't get anywhere that way. God doesn't want you mad at Him. You say, but I don't understand why thus and so happened. Okay, you don't understand, but I'm going to promise you something. God knows what God's doing. I watched a guy drop. I watched a man that was playing shortstop drop a baseball one day in a strategic game, and everybody was irate with him. And I understand why. So you all know God's never dropped a ball? Never. He knows what He's doing. But a lack of forgiveness among you and other Christians, that's going to steal your joy. A lack of forgiveness is with God. And folks, sometimes we surface forgive. I think there's a little more than surface forgive necessary. Forgive deeply. I was talking with a parent, and the parent, they asked me, said, Brother Owens, pray. Said, we found a tick on our son today. And the mom said, I know I took the body off that tick, but you know what the problem is? You can take the body, but the head, if you don't take care of the head, now you got an issue. Forgiveness, or a lack thereof, is like that. Sometimes people surface forgive and they yank the body off of whatever hurt them, but they go ahead and let the head burrow into their heart, their soul, and their spirit, and they're still not really forgiving. They forgave on the surface, but it's not deep spiritual forgiveness. And I've had people threaten my life, virtually threaten to murder me more than one time in life. I had people out to totally destroy me. And by God's mercy and by God's grace, I can say to you, I have nobody out there that I'm angry with. I have nobody out there that I'm vengeful toward. I have sat down, to my knowledge, with most every person that would almost treat me as if they hate me. I've sat down and I've been good to them and I've loved them back in spite of how they would treat me. You say, well, Pastor, you're a really good guy. No, I just don't want to be miserable. I've been wanting to go on and serve God, and I don't want to just do it because I have to. I want to do it because I enjoy it. And I realize if I let a lack of forgiveness creep into my life, I'll lose my joy. Now, I might be able to make it to the end by being mad every day when I go to church and being mad about serving God and being mad about the things that happen to me. But why would I want to take the rest of my life and serve God out of character but be miserable all the time I do it? I don't want to just serve Him. I want to serve Him with a joyful heart and a joyful spirit. Hey, I like what I do. Brother Jason was very kind to me this morning, and he paid me a compliment. I don't want to embarrass him, but he came over. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I could tell when you began to preach a sermon today, there's just a little, almost a little boy part of you that came out. You were just so excited to get to it." Brother Jason, I told you, I said, I love what I do. Now, I want to tell you all something. You won't love what you do if you harbor bitterness, if you don't forgive. And I'm planning on serving Him the rest of my life. Happy or sad, that's my choice. I think I'll go ahead and try to do it happy. So I think sometimes we're not happy around church because I don't think we forgive right. We forget surface. You pulled the body off the tick. You should have pulled the head out of there so it didn't poison you. I'm gonna be quick. 3 or 4 minutes and I'll be done. Number eight. I think some people are not happy serving around the church because you see it as a chore instead of a joyful ministry. It's a chore. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, do you all understand the word chore? You kids, when I was growing up, I was given chores. I was given duties. Okay. 2 Timothy 1:3 says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience. I get to serve God. Don't ever forget this, folks. Serving God is an honor. It's not a burden. It's not a burden. Serving God is a privilege. It's not a punishment. It's a positive. It's not a negative. And I'll tell you what some of you do, and I don't think this is right either time, but I think sometimes people approach their work at the church or their job at the church the same way they approach their secular job. I have to go in. I have to go do this. And if you're not careful, then you take that very same attitude when you come to church, and that's not good. Now, I don't think you ought to have that attitude when you go to your secular job. Yeah, thank God you have work. But God knows if you're going to have a bad attitude at one or the other, go have it at work. Don't bring it down here to the church. Let your boss and let them deal with you. But I think sometimes we're not happy because we see serving God as a chore instead of a ministry. This is the last point, and I'll be done. I think, number nine, sometimes people are not happy serving God around the church because they're not good team players. They're not good team players. Your people skills are weak. Now, you don't know it, but we do. You like but don't love people. You are have a hard time working around people. There are sometimes people are soloists. And they're not good in a group. I'm talking about music now. But they're almost forced into that because of the way they handle and maneuver around people. Folks, never let it be known that you are tolerated by those who surround you. They just put up with your attitude. And you say, and this is how you think, all these people around me make me miserable, and that's why I'm not happy. See, the common denominator happens to be you. It's not all of them. So, listen, there are two relationships in life that are a really big deal. Learn how to get along with God. And then learn how to get along with people. Those two things are, they'll make you or break you. Yes. If you don't get along with God, you're probably not going to experience the joy of the Lord. And if you can't get along with people, guess who God loves? People. And our lives are all about God and people. So I think sometimes we become miserable because we're not good with people. And it's something that you might want to learn. Learning to get along with people, learning how to treat people, learning how to even let what we call the fruit of the Spirit take a great part in your life. It'll help you at church, but it'll help you at work too. You say, I work in my secular job with a bunch of idiots. Guess what? The Holy Spirit specializes in helping people to deal with idiots. It's one of the reasons I want to walk with God as a pastor. Oh, you all misinterpret. Why are people unhappy around the church? I think sometimes it's because they're just generally unhappy people. Why? Because sometimes we're being disobedient, and disobedience does not produce happiness. I think sometimes it's because we're not walking with the God that we're serving. I think sometimes it's because we say it's the place, but it's not the place, it's the people in the place. And it's not the people around me, it's the one that I have control over. I have control over my spirit. Then I think we're unhappy serving around the church, and it's because of self-centeredness or stinginess. Sometimes it's because I'm spending time with people that are unhappy serving around the church. They don't like it, so I don't like it. And you know, sometimes it's not even unhappy people around the church. You just spend time with people that are not interested in serving God. Some of you need to turn your Facebook page over to Jesus and let nothing be posted. Nothing. And I'll tell you something. If I had a Facebook page, and I'm going to tell you why I don't, I'm not sure I could control it. So I don't. But I'll tell you, if I did, and you sent something to me that was off color or wrong, that, what do they call it, unfriending or defriending or killing a friend, or what is that called? Anybody, what's the right term? Unfriend? I'd unfriend you like that. You say, why? It's more important to me to keep my spirit right with God than for me to put up with you. You say, well, I would apologize. I'd make you pay me money, and then I'd make you my friend again. Oh, but listen, if you get around unhappy people, you're going to be unhappy. If you don't practice forgiveness, you're not going to be happy. If you see it as a chore instead of an honor or a privilege, and if you're not learning to be good with people, you won't be happy serving around the church, and especially our church, because I want everybody here to know what's important around here.
It's not these walls. It's not these chairs. It's not that parking lot.
We have a roof leak. Did y'all see it when you came in? I don't care. It's just a building. But I care about the people. And you won't get along in a church like this if your ultimate concern is not walking with God and getting along with people. You just won't. Because I think that's what this is really all about. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't think that there was one single person that needed all this time. I don't think that at all. Matter of fact, I'm not trying to correct anything. I'm trying to prevent. I'm not trying to bail a sinking ship out. I'm trying to keep a ship from getting water in it in the first place. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, we welcome you to the Savior. Come, let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you are saved, could I recommend something? Oh, keep that happiness in your service to God. Analyze yourself a little bit. The Bible says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Happy is that people. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Oh my. Let's keep that in our service to God. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, as you were calling the roll on those things that could affect us, I listened, God spoke to my heart. Either I needed it right now, or I'm promising God I'm going to tuck it away. I'm going to use it when I do need it. Who here tonight would raise your hand and let God see your hand and say, that's it. I either needed it now or I'm going to tuck it away and use it later. God bless you. We're going to have a moment. If you need the altar, I want you to feel free to come and use it. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Hey, Christian, do you need to come to get a little bit more of that joy back in your service to God? Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Boy, let's serve God and let's enjoy it. I know it's a battle. I know it's a war. I'm not happy about the war, but I'm happy about who I serve. I'm happy about who's on my team. I'm glad I'm in the Lord's army, and I'm glad that I get to fight the devil with you. Be careful now. Somebody hurts you. You don't take care of it. It's only surface forgiveness. They're still bad in your sight. They're still mean in your sight. Watch out now. That could fester. That could poison your spirit a little now, a little more later, and a whole lot somewhere down the line. Matter of fact, be careful. When you get hurt a little, you could eventually become an evil, church-hating, pastor-hating, ministry-attacking individual. And it starts small. Most evil people do not become evil overnight. They became evil a little at a time. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Thank you, Rachel. You know what I love? I love this. People come to our church, and when they walk in, we're fellowshipping, and we're positive, and we're upbeat. And truth is, if there's somebody in our church right now who is bitter, I don't know that. I don't think that's the case. If there's evil within our system, I don't know that. I don't think that's the case. But now's the time to make sure you keep it out. We certainly don't want that to develop. And let's make it so that in 6 months from now, and a year from now, and 2 years from now, when people come in, they still feel that delightful, upbeat. You can tell that something good is happening in this place. We want to keep that spirit. And we want to be happy in the service of the King.